Hello and welcome to Background Briefing, available 24/7 at ianmasters.com. I'm Ian Masters, and today we'll examine a number of stories and issues in the news. We'll begin with a new low for Donald Trump, who in effect called the widow of the slain Green Beret killed in Niger a liar, following her remarks on ABC's Good Morning America, where she supported what Congresswoman Wilson had said about Trump's botched condolence call, saying Trump, quote, made me cry because I was very angry at the tone of his voice and how he said it. He couldn't remember my husband's name. A highly decorated combat veteran who was awarded 2 Silver Stars, 2 Legions of Merit, and 2 Purple Hearts, Philip Butler, who was shot down over North Vietnam and spent 8 years as a POW, joins us. Now that we are in day 8 of the continuing scandal over Trump's handling of Gold Star families, we will discuss the national wound Trump opened when he accused his predecessors of not making condolence calls to the fallen, and the escalating war of words between Trump and Senator McCain. Having known McCain since they graduated together from the U.S. Naval Academy in 1961, and later as Phil Butler spent 8 years in captivity compared to McCain's 5, which Trump disparaged during the campaign, we will assess how Trump will react to being called a draft dodger, which was clearly implied in McCain's remark that rich kids avoided the Vietnam War by claiming to have bone spurs. Then we'll look into Niger, the country suddenly in the news, and the growing questions surrounding the U.S. military mission there and the apparent failure of intelligence that led to the ambush of 4 Green Berets, whose deaths have led to frictions between our military and civilian authorities and between Trump and the family of one of the fallen. Laura See, a professor of government at Colby College, who studies African politics, conflict, and development with a focus on Central Africa, joins us to discuss the activities of AFRICOM and Senator Lindsey Graham's announcement that there will be more U.S. aggression on the continent. Then finally, we will speak with John Pfeffer, the co-director of Foreign Policy and Focus at the Institute for Policy Studies, whose latest article at Foreign Policy and Focus is Trump's Enablers Should Be Shamed Out of Public Life. He joins us to discuss how the generals, the so-called adults in the room, are in fact enabling militaristic policies around the world and are only restraining Trump's personality defects and impulses, not his policies. And joining us now is Philip Butler, who's a 1961 graduate of the United States Naval Academy and a former light attack carrier pilot. In 1965, he was shot down over North Vietnam, where he spent 8 years as a prisoner of war. He's a highly decorated combat veteran who was awarded 2 Silver Stars, 2 Legions of Merit, 2 Bronze Stars, and 2 Purple Hearts. And he completed his naval career in 1981 as a professor at the Naval Postgraduate School in Monterey, California, and today is a peace and justice activist with Veterans for Peace. Welcome to Background Briefing, Philip Butler.
Thank you, Ian. Nice to be back.
Well, thanks, Phil. And can you believe that we're in day 8 of this scandal between Donald Trump and a congresswoman and the widow of a fallen Green Beret who was killed in Niger? And it's extraordinary to think that it's still going on. And today, Monday, on Good Morning America on ABC, the widow of the slain Sergeant David Johnson, first time in public she spoke. She confirmed what Congresswoman Wilson had said about what Trump had said in the car on the limo going to pick up the body, that her husband knew what he was getting into, and it made me cry, just quoting her, because it made me cry because I was very angry at the tone of his voice and how he said it. He couldn't remember my husband's name. Now, today, Donald Trump almost immediately tweeted back, I had a very respectful conversation with the widow of Sergeant David Johnson and spoke his name from beginning without hesitation. So, you know, what we're down to here, Phil, is that the President of the United States is calling the widow of a slain Green Beret a liar.
You know, Ian, I know this is the subject we want to talk about today, but I have to preface it with one thing, and that is that in my opinion, this entire 8-day-long travesty that you're talking about here is really nothing more than a distraction. It's a distraction from the really, really important stuff that's going on, leading off with North Korea. The Japanese have just announced that they think that the North Koreans have escalated to the point where it's ext- extremely dangerous. They're calling it extreme. And we've got ISIS people escaping from Iraq and heading out into Africa and parts unknown all around the world. And we've got all sorts of cyber warfare issues that we're vulnerable to that I hope somebody's paying attention to, but certainly not the press or the public. And then we've got this crazy so-called tax thing that's just a cut for rich people that's going to go on, that's going to put us another $4, 5, or 6 trillion in debt. So you can see my thinking that this is distraction. And having said that, now back to the distraction.
Let me interject, if I may. I have said a number of times, and I honestly believe that Donald Trump, that this is a conscious strategy on his part.
I totally agree. I think it's intentional.
The politics of distraction, and this is what I call government by stunt. You have a president who doesn't have a clue about what he's doing, is completely temperamentally unsuited for the job, and is completely ignorant of what's happening in the world and has no interest, is only interested in enriching his family and using his office to do so, which is really what's going on. But the fact that it's government by stunt is a way to distract us all from the fact that he's completely incompetent. And every day it's a stunt, and it's the only explanation for why he doubles down, particularly with this widow. Now, of course, he does have a problem with African Americans, and he doesn't. We don't have a scandal with the other three fallen white soldiers, do we?
No, I guess not. I mean, I don't know. I guess it's how this thing worked out. But he certainly went after the congresswoman. He obviously is very, very racist and very right wing, and he backs up the neo-Nazis by saying that they're equal to the people that were out demonstrating against the process that was going on. And so, but you're right. I love your title there, government by stunt. And I think it falls right in as a metaphor for what Senator Bob Corker said about Trump and what was going on in the White House. It's just actually a nutcase that's the White House, and unfortunately for us, it's at a very, very, very difficult and dangerous time for Americans and for our government and for our country.
Well, particularly when you consider that there's a rumor now that Trump has either decided or will decide to put the B-52, the bomber side of the triad, on full alert, which means that the B-52s and the B-1s, I guess, and the B-2s will be all sitting at the end of the runway, ready to be fired up and take off in an instant to bomb, well, who? I mean, obviously that's going to disturb the Russians, since they're the ones that would be most concerned about U.S.'s nuclear stance, but obviously
it'll just cause the Russians and the Chinese to do exactly the same thing. They have bombers they could put on full alert too, and that puts everybody's finger closer to the trigger. And I hate to see that, especially with the Russians, because they're just close to incompetence when it comes to this stuff. Anyway, I mean, it's nothing short, of course, of a miracle. I don't really believe in miracles, but if there ever were one, this would be a miracle that we didn't get into nuclear warfare with the Russians back during the Cold War. We came so very close several times that most people don't even know about it. Anyway, it's a very dangerous time for our nation on many different fronts, and then we have all of this, as you call it, government by stunt. I love that. That's a perfect title for it, and I do believe that it's intentional.
Again, I'm speaking with Philip Butler, a 1961 graduate of the United States Naval Academy and a former light attack carrier pilot. In 1965, he was shot down over North Vietnam, where he spent 8 years as a prisoner of war. He's a highly decorated combat veteran who was awarded 2 Silver Stars, 2 Legions of Merit, 2 Bronze Stars, and 2 Purple Hearts. He completed his naval career in 1981 as a professor at the Naval Postgraduate School in Monterey, California, and today is a peace and justice activist with Veterans for Peace. But it doesn't look as though this issue, as phony as it is perhaps, and cynically used by Donald Trump to distract us from his gross incompetence, nevertheless, it's going to go on. He's already picked a fight with your former POW colleague, John McCain, Senator McCain, who, as you recall, during the campaign, Donald Trump dismissed McCain in a very callous way. He said he's not a war hero. He was a war hero because he was captured. I like people that weren't captured. And that's probably...
I guess that included me.
Right, yeah. Exactly, yeah. It's all your fault.
People are forever asking me if I was a POW with John McCain, and of course my answer is no, I was not. John McCain was a POW with me.
Right.
I actually got there two and a half years before John did, but anyway, that's another story.
Right.
And I go back to the Naval Academy knowing each other back then, so we were even in the same company at the Naval Academy, oddly enough.
Well,
but, it's sad, though, that McCain is just now coming out with this because he knows that he will not, sadly, be serving another term as senator, and it seems that people have to be not up for re-election in our country before they can speak the truth to power, and it's really horrible. We've got all these Republicans in the Senate and in the House of Representatives, and they're all staying mum because they want to get this tax thing through before they say anything about this crazy president, even though they're not stupid. They know that he's practically leading us into nuclear war, but they'd rather take a chance on nuclear war than saying something against this guy for fear that their base might not reelect him. So what kind of courage is that? You send young kids out into combat to fight, like these 4 young soldiers that were killed in Niger, and they have the courage to go out and face the enemy, but these jerks that we elect in Congress don't have any guts at all. All they're worried about is their job. Imagine how they would be in a combat situation. I'd hate to have them in my unit. They'd be turning tail and running as fast as they could at the first sound of a gunfire.
Right, and frankly, they're there doing the bidding of the people who put them there, the donors, the Koch brothers. That's their real agenda. They're faithful servants of the plutocrats. But McCain, though, he's basically picked a fight, and Trump has said, I'm a nice guy. I'm not fighting back, but I will, and I'm known for it, and I'm ready to get ugly. Well, it looks like it's going to get uglier. McCain, the other day on The View, said that, apropos what we've been talking about so far, saying that we should not be fighting about a brave American who lost his life serving his country. That should not be a topic of discussion in America today. But just today on C-SPAN, he went further and talked about the Vietnam War and said how it was an obscenity that the rich kids didn't get sent and that the people who fought the war were the sons of the low-income Americans, and that the rich got out by getting a doctor to say that they had a bone spur. Well, we know that that's how Donald Trump had 5 college deferments and I believe 1 for a bone spur. Undeniably a dig at Trump. So do you expect this battle to escalate?
Oh, sure. I think it'll go just as long as Trump wants to keep it going, and I'm sure he wants to keep it going to distract people from the real problems and issues that are going on. This tiff back and forth between the congresswoman and Jim Kelly is a perfect example. You know, that's just been blasted out all over the news. That could go on for weeks and even months if the administration would keep fueling the fire and keep it going.
Well, it looks like the White House set Kelly up. I don't think he wanted to talk about his son. I think that's a deeply private wound, and that Trump sort of forced him into it. And then they obviously gave Kelly the wrong talking points at the White House. He went off and ad hominem attack on the congresswoman that turned out to be completely inaccurate. And now I don't know that he wants to speak up, but he has opened a kind of wound, whether intentionally or not, where he's talked about the difference between civilians and military people in this country, and more or less suggesting that only the military are honorable people. I find that a little nervous making, not so much in terms of a military coup, but in the general notion that, you know, we spend so much on defense today that, you know, the military, I mean, admittedly, most of it doesn't go to the men and women in service, it goes to the contractors. But on the other, you know, still they're getting pretty much a lion's share of the treasure, spending more today on defense than we did at the height of the Cold War. It's obviously less of a percentage of our GDP since our GDP has gone up, but still it's an extraordinarily, they are in a very privileged position, the military, in terms of our resources. We don't fill potholes, but we buy the latest jets, etc. What's your response to that?
Oh, that's absolutely true. I think that this country would be much better off with a much smaller military, and we wouldn't be sending young kids into harm's way so much, into problems that are not ours to solve. I don't know what in the world we think we're doing in the Middle East now. We certainly don't need the oil anymore, so we can't send kids out to fight for oil. So why are we in there? Well, we're stuck, just like Lyndon Johnson said at the beginning of the Vietnam War. He said he didn't know how in the hell we could ever win this thing. We couldn't win it, but we couldn't get out. And he was losing sleep over it. Well, he lost sleep, and 58,000 American kids lost their lives, and two to four million Vietnamese people lost their lives because he couldn't screw up the courage to do what was right and get us out of that war. Just like presidents today can't get us out of all the wars that we're in that are just nonsense. You know, American boys and girls are not going to solve the problems of the Sunni and Shia fight that's been going on for 1,500 years. We're just not going to solve that one. I think probably Muslim and Arab boys and girls are going to have to solve that problem, and probably going to have to kill a lot of each other before they do finally come to terms and solve the problem. But here we are, you know, fighting in Iraq, and we don't even know whose side we're on. Are we on the side of the Kurds, or are we on the side in Syria, on the side of the Syrians? You know, it's just absolutely nuts. Eventually, the whole thing over there is probably going to wind up being Shiistan, Kurdistan, and Sunnistan. But before that happens, Americans are going to lose lots of lives and treasure, and I guess we're going to help keep it going over there. So in my opinion, if we had a smaller military and a smaller budget for the military by something like half, then we probably wouldn't be so inclined to get into all these idiotic wars, other people's trying to solve other people's problems.
Well, I think the thing that offended most people, I mean, as I mentioned, Kelly, particularly when he left the press conference that he held to get Trump off the hook, where he asked the press, is there anyone here a Gold Star parent or sibling? Does anyone here know a Gold Star parent or sibling? Asking the press that, the implication was pretty clear that somehow the civilians aren't sufficiently respectful of military sacrifice. But in defending General Kelly, the White House press secretary said it's highly inappropriate to question a four-star Marine general. That has, I think, even upset people more. Even General Petraeus came out against that statement. What's your reaction to what?
Well, that was a nutty sidetrack from the whole argument. That was really a stupid thing for her to say, because that four-star Marine general works for us. You know, he works for us. We don't work for him. That's the way the nation is supposed to operate. On the other hand, you know, I can see Jim Kelly as just a person, as a human being, as a man who was a military man all of his life, and he lost his son. He must be enormously proud of his son, who was also a Marine officer, and he lost him in combat in Afghanistan, and that must be just beyond painful for the man. So I think, you know, in a sense, I have to give Jim Kelly a pass as just as a person, as a man, for running off the mouth, probably in the wrong direction. I mean, who among us hasn't been wounded emotionally to the point where we said things that weren't absolutely correct or were nonsense or were not, you know, up to our normal, let's say, critical thinking? So I give Kelly a pass for that, but I don't give the president and the administration and all these people a pass for all of these continuing silly distractions when all of the important things that are going on are being pasted over.
Yeah, but it was Trump who dragged General Kelly into the gutter, and he's again dragging us all into the gutter by basically calling the widow of the slain Green Beret in Niger a liar. So I'd put it all on Trump.
I do too, and I think it's a horrible thing. I can't imagine anybody saying something like that to that woman. I know that when I was towards the end of my naval service as a Navy commander, I was invited to come over to Salinas, which is near Monterey, to give Purple Hearts out to Gold Star mothers who had lost their sons in the Bataan Death March. There was a tank company that came from Salinas that was in Bataan, and so many Salinas sons were lost, and some survived the death march, and some became prisoners of war in Japan. But there were about a dozen of these mothers that I awarded Purple Hearts to in this little ceremony over there, and I had fortunately looked through the list before I awarded these out, and I noticed that one woman was a little bit different from the others, and I saved her as last, and I called her up and announced that I was giving her two Purple Hearts because she had lost two sons and had Bataan, not one but two. And I got to tell you that there was not a dry eye in the house when that was announced. So yes, I think anybody who doesn't have it in their hearts to have just incredible sympathy and, you know, and empathy for a mother or a father who loses a son or a daughter in those circumstances, or for that matter, any circumstances, I guess there can't be anything worse than losing a son or a daughter. You know, we're supposed to outlive our children, but it's very sad when we don't.
Well, Philip Butler, I thank you very much for joining us here today.
Thank you, Ian. It's always a pleasure to be on your Pacifica station.
Well, thank you again, Philip. And again, I've been speaking with Philip Butler, who's a 1961 graduate of the United States Naval Academy and a former light attack carrier pilot. In 1965, he was shot down over North Vietnam, where he spent 8 years as a prisoner of war. He's a highly decorated combat veteran who was awarded 2 Silver Stars, 2 Legions of Merit, 2 Bronze Stars, and 2 Purple Hearts. And he completed his naval career in 1981 as a professor at the Naval Postgraduate School in Monterey, California, and today is a peace and justice activist with Veterans for Peace. We're going to take a brief station break and back looking into Niger, the country suddenly in the news.